what are you expecting in terms of, you know, what form is this information going to take when they hand it over to you?
We'll be getting some summary information that'll probably be, you know, a letter or letters, probably a written report, but and that'll be interesting and useful to us. But really the main thing that we're looking for is the detail. And what we're expecting there is to get many disks of data. You've been seeing, and I know the KQED has been reporting also about PG&E's efforts to get all the information together, including filling up the Cal Palace with pieces of paper. That's actually very important because we need to know, even for these pipelines that were put in the ground 50 years ago, 60 years ago, everything we can possibly know about them, because we need to know what pressure level it is safe to operate them at.
So how long do you expect this it'll take the CPUC to go through that information, you know, after they give it to you? It seems like it could take a while to kind of verify it.
There'll be various levels of review that we do. Based on the summary information that we get from PG&E right away, we will immediately consider whether we need to take any immediate steps, and I mean in hours and days after we get the information. For example, if there are particular kinds of pipes that we have concerns about, for example, ones that are similar to the one that ruptured in San Bruno, in other parts of the system, we may very well immediately take action on those pipes and order pressure reductions or something like that. Then over the course of days and weeks, we'll go into the detail of what PG&E gives us. We'll go through all those disks. We'll make sure that we understand what's out there, and that will help inform our commissioners. Our commissioners are already trying to develop their own thinking about the kind of medium-term steps. If we find that for these pipelines that were grandfathered way back in the 1970s without ever being pressure tested, if we find that the national and the state concern about those, given what we know now after the investigation in San Bruno, is sufficient, we may very well, our commissioners may very well order hydro testing of large sections of that pipeline, retrofitting so that smart pigs can be used, even possibly replacement.
So given, but, you know, it seems like one of the main questions is given the bad information about the San Bruno line from PG&E's records, how do you know what to trust and what, you know, what to be skeptical of?
Yeah, that's the big question, and that's why we need to know everything we can possibly know about a particular section of line. So here's the analogy I use. If you go and you're going to go buy a house, you get information from the Craigslist listing, you get information from the real estate agent, you get information from the county tax assessor, you get information from the building inspector. If they all match, you've got some level of confidence. If there are differences among those, that immediately raises flags. So we're talking about facilities that are buried underground and have been for many decades. But if we get information from multiple sources, the engineering records, the pipe purchase records, the installation records, if they all match, we feel like we have greater level of confidence that the information is right. And if they don't match, then obviously we focus in there right away.
And is there any question in your mind at this point that regulators will be requiring PG&E to do at least some hydro testing of some of its lines?
I think it's extremely likely. We've already got a recommendation from the National Transportation Safety Board nationwide for regulators to consider that. I think given what happened in San Bruno, given the expanded knowledge that we've all got now, all the regulators, all the pipeline operators have, post-San Bruno about some of the risks of this older pipe, I think it's very likely we'll be ordering a lot of significant testing, hydro testing, smart pigging, I know that your listeners have heard about, and other kinds of testing.
What about the downside of that testing, especially the hydro testing that was cited at the NTSB, such as, you know, risks for corrosion and cost and that sort of thing?
Yeah, hydro testing is not a panacea. And just for your listeners, what we're talking about here is you take a section of pipeline, you take the gas out of it, you evacuate the gas out of it, and you fill it up with water, really just plain old water, that you pressurize at 150% or so of the level you expect to operate it at, and you hold the pressure there for some amount of time. The great advantage of testing that way is if the pipe bursts, if you get a failure, instead of an explosion, you have a geyser. And the great disadvantage is you're taking a pipeline that's been in the ground for many decades and you're pressurizing it way higher than it's been pressurized potentially ever before. And there is a worry among some pipeline engineers that you could make a defect worse doing that. And that's why it's not a panacea. Probably what you want to do is match hydro testing with other kinds of inspection so that you can be very sure that you're not taking a defect that's been out in the pipe for 50 years and making it worse. There's no magic answer. We're going to have to be very careful about inspecting all of the pipes.
And would you expect the CPUC to require that some pipes be replaced altogether?
Over the long term, I think that's very likely. There is, in fact, already a pipeline replacement program in California and has been for many years. And I think it's likely to be expanded. I don't want to get ahead of the PUC commissioners, remembering that replacing pipe is very expensive. You know, you're very quickly talking in the hundreds of millions, potentially billions of dollars if you do very significant replacement of pipe. But the key thing is that pipeline system needs to be operated safely. And if replacing the pipe is what it takes to operate it safely, that's what will happen.
Now, you know, as you said, it's expensive. All these options are going to be expensive. And so who pays for that? Should customers be prepared to pay for some of those improvements?
Well, it's going to be up to the PUC commissioners to decide who pays for what. And they've already, in their public proceeding that they opened now a couple, 3 weeks ago, they've already teed this question up to say for actions, particularly with PG&E, and by the way, all the things that we're talking about, they apply statewide, so we're also looking at the pipelines in Southern California. But particularly for PG&E, to the extent that the commissioners have to order what's basically remedial actions to correct mistakes that PG&E made in keeping its records and so on, the commissioners have already asked the public, and we're getting public comment about this question of who should pay. So that question is very much teed up, and I think you're likely to find the PUC commissioners focusing on how much should ratepayers pay, how much should shareholders pay. If there are actual penalties, if PG&E has violated the law here, then you can also expect PG&E to face some pretty significant financial penalties.
As I remember, because I was at that hearing when they did tee up that question, and it sounded like it was going to be a shared cost.
That's the way we describe it, and I don't want to, again, get too far ahead of the PUC commissioners. And you know, some of the things that will be on their mind are just plain old fairness. If what we're talking about is remedial actions for mistakes, then I think they're likely to put less of that responsibility on ratepayers and more on the shareholders. We also have to be concerned about the ability for the state to raise the capital. If we're talking about replacing lots of pipe, and we have to raise lots of capital, the PUC commissioners have to be concerned to make sure that that capital is going to be available. So it's a tough job being a PUC commissioner, and I don't suppose that they're going to satisfy everybody on every question. They never do.
Are we going to expect to see anything tomorrow when PG&E gives this all to you? Are we going to hear anything?
You will hear from me as soon as I know what PG&E has filed. You should stay tuned for any immediate actions that are required. It's not even impossible that we would act as quickly as the same day as PG&E files, but certainly within a very few days after PG&E files. If we do need to take any immediate steps, for example, to lower the pressure on some pipes, you can expect us to do that right away.
And have you gotten any sense from PG&E about how they're doing with this record search?
Well, yeah, we've been, of course, in very close contact with them, and they're working hard over there. You've seen the Cal Palace strewn with files, and that's been going on all up and down Northern California. I don't want to guess about what PG&E is going to file, but I think what we've got here is a situation where on an emergency basis, PG&E has had to do 50 years of record catch-up, and you can imagine how that looks.